This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
Welcome back to the Build a Better Us podcast. The president of Build a Better Us, BJ Thompson, and licensed therapist John J.P. Parker are about to discuss spiritual, relational, and personal development from a refreshing perspective. Be sure to stay tuned to the end to find out how you can become a part of the BBU Nation. But for now, we hope you enjoy this conversation with BJ and J.P.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Parker.
And this is BJ Thompson.
And this is the Build a Better Us podcast. Today, we are talking about GOAT status. And I'm talking about greatest of all time. For those of you that are not in the know, the term that's been thrown around rather loosely in the last year, 2 years, 3 years, is G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. And I'm at a place in life where I'm recognizing and realizing that I am the GOAT. BJ has already cemented the fact that he is the GOAT. And you as the listener, we need you to understand that you can't be the GOAT. And you may already be the GOAT, but you just don't act as if you are that, which I appreciate. Sometimes people need to be humble and sit down, right? Some people need to just know their role, you know? But we're talking about self-confidence. We're talking about pride in oneself, pride in one's work, and making sure you understand that the GOAT is just not reserved for somebody like LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan or somebody like that. You can be an everyday GOAT, right? Is that fair to say?
No, it's fair to say. Yeah, I think as we talk about the GOAT status, you know, I think it's hard because we need to make the distinction between a false sense of confidence versus a healthy sense of confidence. And I think anytime we talk about being the GOAT, the greatest of all time, it feels like you can be self-inflating your view and vantage point. And I think that's a false sense of confidence. And so I'm excited to get into the conversation today to talk about how do you develop meaningful confidence in who you are and then be able to carry that into the GOAT status, right? Greatest of all time. JP, open us up with an illustration that can hopefully bring light to this idea of the GOAT status.
Yeah, well, I said one thing pre-show, but I was reminded of another situation. No, this is like it's one of my go-to, like, modern millennial, whoever. I struggle with people that are my age and younger who like to enter.
Using the word millennial. To say the word millennial.
Yeah, but I'm not a millennial, so I don't know how that works for those millennials. You know what I mean? I'm Gen X, just barely. So what happens is, though, people of the trophy, participation trophy generation, like to just throw around the word GOAT. And I won't say whether or not somebody like LeBron James is or isn't the GOAT, right? I'll reserve that for another time. Who knows if I'll run into LeBron and he might need to throw me something. You know what I'm saying? He might need to sit on the couch.
Make sure you hit me up at BJ116, Bron. Hit up buildbetters.com. Go ahead.
Right. So no shade on this end. I lift up the black man, right? So basically, I don't know if it was 2 seasons or 3 seasons ago, LeBron James started telling the world that he was the GOAT. He literally said out of his own mouth, "I'm the best player in the world. I am the best basketball player in the world." Before that, nobody was saying that. Like quite literally, that wasn't being said. Like, people may have thought that, and they were like, "Yo, better than Michael," blah, 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 blah. But he took a hold and shaped the narrative and framed things for himself and put into place the idea that he was the GOAT by literally saying,
Kobe? Has Kobe said this?
Not Kobe. I'm sure he has said something to that extent, but Kobe hasn't. I don't know if I can meet going to an interview and say, "Oh, here's where Kobe Bryant said he was the greatest of all time," or here's Kobe Bryant saying, "I'm the best player in basketball. I'm the best player in the world." It may have happened, but I wasn't a Kobe fan. So those of you that are Kobe fans, feel free to add us and let us know and send us those YouTube clips of Kobe saying that. But I can verify in my time of the new I guess, last 4 or 5 years of watching the Warriors versus the Cavs, I have heard LeBron James say that he was the best basketball player in the world. And he also said it in the interview recently that he thought once he came back from that 3-1 deficit against the Warriors, that that was going to cement his legacy of being the GOAT. Like, he just assumed, oh, I'm definitely the GOAT now. You know what I'm saying? So the idea that I'm presenting is that LeBron James, he likes to control the narrative in the media of who he is and what's going on, which is fine. Do that, right? In realizing and recognizing, like, oh, I need to turn this up a notch, either him or somebody in his camp decided, hey, man, what you need to do and what you need to say is that you're the best player in the world. That's just what needs to happen. Now, whether or not that was a conscious thing or subconscious thing, it happened. And as soon as he said it, it was like a switch just flipped. Right? And every analyst on the planet at that point in time started calling LeBron James the best basketball player in the world. And so now you get to a point where there's debate between Kevin and Kawhi and all these different things. But the fact of the matter is that dude claimed his status and cemented for himself, whether or not anyone else agrees with him, that he is the greatest of all time.
Good, good. Yeah, I think what the point that you're making here is really good. I think it's a really good point, is that LeBron had to believe something about himself in light of evidence, things that have occurred in his life, in his narrative, in order to, I mean, I guess, gain the next level of who he's becoming. And so, yeah, I love to share from my own life. I was listening back to some of our episodes, and I was thinking, man, I'd be sharing a lot of these L's that have happened in my life, but it's for the listeners, you know, and I want to make sure they get a real piece of this. And I've shared, you know, about a lot of times from school. Shout out to, you know, Dallas, Texas, and all of my friends. I hope if you're listening, make sure you email C. John Rohr. If you have any complaints or any lawsuit information, you make sure you hit him up about it.
But you're going to be in trouble, because I'm going to delete them immediately. So
that's funny. So yeah. What I was thinking about was, I was really just thinking about, you know, the times where I'm just taking L's in my confidence. I remember growing up and everybody used to have, you know, name brand shoes. Do you remember when everybody had the Deons?
Oh, yeah.
At the Deion
sure.
Sanders.
I remember watching other people wear them. Yes.
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 Or the Cortez. The Dope
Nike
Man,
Cortez. Yep. Yep.
And you also had, you had the Nikes, the Jordans, but I don't think Jordan was popping like that yet. Mm-hmm. Jordans was popping like later on, right? But Nikes was always popping, right? And, you know, when I look at my shoes and I think about what I wore, my mama wanted to save money. She would go to a place called Payless, go, have me go with her, right? Like one of the most torturous things you can do, instead of her going and just picking them up.
That was mean, bro. Was...
uh-huh.
That was mean, bro. Like, hey.
She thinks she was doing me a favor, bro, by like dragging me into the store.
Let your friends see you walk out.
Bruh. So dragged you in the store, got me trying on which one you like.
I'm like, none of them. Can I leave?
Listen, I don't want to see one of these. I don't see none of these, right? And I remember like walking in and walking around and then thinking to myself, oh, shoot, I got to go to school the next day. My kids had this phrase they were circulating, you know, over the last few years. They would say something when they would see certain brands of shoes. They would look down and they would say, what are those? I don't know if you ever you heard that. Bro, that was the life I was living. That was the life I was living. So, you know, you talking about taking L's, like, you know, my shoes were not right. I didn't have, you know, nice jeans. You know, that's when everybody was kind of rocking the Levi's a little bit. This was when Levi's was popping some. But if you had the Wranglers, kids was calling them the Stranglers. Right? So you didn't want to have Stranglers on. You didn't want to have the Stranglers on, bro. And listen, I just kept taking L's, like the Stranglers on, bro. I came to school with the Stranglers and with the Payless. And then listen, bro, on top of that, bro, like, yo, my dad wanted to cut my hair.
Oh,
and so he's like, "Yo, I'm saving a little money. I'm gonna cut my hair, bro." Listen,
your parents hated you, bro. They hated you, man. What was you doing, man?
They loved me.
Okay,
they loved me, but they hated my reputation.
Okay.
They loved me, but they hated my reputation.
Got it.
And bro, like, came to school. You know, pops had just cut my hair, so that's how I went. And so, from an outward appearance perspective, nothing about me made me feel like I was a goat. Mm. And I knew that every time I would walk into certain rooms and certain situations, I didn't have a confidence in those things. I couldn't find confidence based off my shoes, based off my jeans, based off my haircuts. And I didn't feel like I was the goat. And so what it did to me growing up was it did a number on how I saw myself. It consistently beat me down so that I wasn't sure, was I attractive? Was I somebody that you wanted to be with? Was I somebody to be, you know, affirmed for the dignity of who they are? And so, yeah, man, like I need to tell mama to this day, like, yo, she sent me to counseling with that, bro. Like I'm in counseling right now for the XJ900s, the stranglers, and the bad haircut. So, yeah, so that's one of the moments, man, where I really had to, like, I had my GOAT status challenge. JP, talk to us about a time when you had your GOAT status challenge.
Have I talked to you about the girl that well, you can feel free to remind me. I just, you know, these stories, they just hurt so much. You know, I feel like I've said it one time.
It hurts so bad.
You know,
it hurts so bad.
So mine is very similar in a sense of it just being related to my self-esteem and kind of like my presence, right? So I remember one time, it was eighth grade, me and some friends went on like this triple date. So my homeboy and his homeboy had dates, and then they invited this girl so I wouldn't be the third wheel or whatever. So I'm doing all the stuff. You know, it's like eighth grade. So went to this place called Malibu back in the day in by Pointy Hills Mall. Shout out to, you know, Inland Empire. So basically, we played video games, did a little mini golf, rode around on the go-karts. Everything was beautiful. I was like, oh, I'm definitely, she's
y'all
definitely,
kicked it. Y'all
bruh,
kicked it, kicked
bruh, she definitely kicked it. Finna be my boo, bro. Like, it's going down. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I got it. Like, at an eighth grade moment in life, I had never exuded so much game and had that much, like Mac ability at one point in time. I was like, yo, I am, like, the work that was coming out of me, bro, that day was immaculate. So, the night's ending up. I'm going for the, like, all right, it's the time I get her number. You know what I mean? Kind of solidify the situation. And I don't remember if I said something to her first or she just got the vibe that it was that time. She was like, man, I really had a good time. You're cute and all, but you're just too short.
Wow.
It still hurts, bro. It still hurts. Like, I was not expecting that. If any of the things for her to tell me, like, yo, like, you just wasn't funny, or, you know what I'm saying, like, I saw you cheating at the putt-putt golf. Like, it could have been anything, bro. Your breath smell, like, I would have expected her to talk bad about my clothes. But it was literally the fact that I didn't meet the height requirement. And
wow.
And it didn't dawn on me up until that point that, oh, I guess I am shorter than everybody. But again, there was a reason. I was a year ahead of everybody. I started school early. So I guess if I had that in my back pocket, I could have said, hey, girl, don't even worry about that. Next year, I'm going to catch you. You know what I mean? I'm just a year behind. Don't even worry about it. You know what I'm saying? This thing will all even out. Give me a summer. And this thing will all even out. For me, that one summer became, you know, the rest of high school. I didn't grow until college. But the fact of the matter is, the fact remains that from that day forward, it kind of really cemented something in me that really, like, I can't remember after that point, like, any other situation where I was going to a mall or going, you know, dirt wheeling or whatever. I at that point, I never hollered at another girl outside of being somebody I went to school with or somebody that I would see often at, like, a church situation or something like that. It was never, like, it just shook me to the core.
Hollered in church. You was a kid at church. I could see you. You was that kid at church hollering at girls. Go ahead.
I mean,
that was a sacrifice to me. I would never see myself talking to a young lady at church. That was, like, a sacred space.
Nah, not for me, like, bro. I used to take my tithes and offer money, go buy donuts, go play video games, gamble in the parking lot. Like, bro,
wow.
The first time I heard NWA, I was in the church parking lot, and yo, Mr. Dope Man, you think you're slick. You sold crack to my sister, and now she's sick. If he happens to die because of your drugs, I'm going to stick up your gula. PA slug. Dope Man. Bruh, that was in the church parking lot, bro. Like, it was lit, man. Wow. It was a party. So that was just my life. So that's as sacred as things got. But anyway, if we're talking about the idea of self-confidence, if we're talking about the idea of like moments in life that like offset your trajectory, that was one of those moments in which it was cemented in within me. Like, man, it doesn't matter how much game I have. It doesn't matter how much charisma I have. It doesn't matter how much like I can put on. The simple fact that I wasn't tall enough was not going to be negotiable in those situations. Like, it wasn't going to be something that I could do something about. And therefore, it just shook me to my core, bro. And when I say like I was a clam of a man after that point in time, bro, it was a wrap, bro. I was done.
Yeah, I think this is a great time to segue into the idea of things that challenge your GOAT status, man. You know, when I look at it, and I hear you speak about it, and I think about, man, what are some stuff that would challenge a GOAT status? And I think when you realize a limitation, it's like you realize for the first time, yo, I'm poor. You realize for the first time, yo, I'm tall, or I'm too tall. Or right, you realize right. For the first time, maybe ever, oh no, I'm not, you know, the same measure of attractive, and you know, whatever the culture says. And I think what challenges a GOAT status is you see a weakness that people either affirm or subtly reject you for, and it causes you to lose a sense of confidence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
And so what I've seen in my life in a lot of ways is, man, for many a times, I just believed it. I just had to go with it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, I don't dress like this. I don't dress like that. I don't look good. Therefore, I must not be attractive. And what it did for me is like, man, it made me not want to try. It made me want to be very inwardly shy and fearful mm-hmm. of people. I would take criticism much heavier than what I would because I didn't have confidence. So now, like, criticism, instead of blowing up and just, you know, saying what's on my heart, I just got to take it home, think about it, worry about it, stress about it.
Yeah.
Find myself overwhelmed by it, and then try to adjust back to the situation as if nothing had occurred without really resolving. And so what I would say is the thing that I've seen challenge GOAT status is self-consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you look at you so much that now in the face of whatever those different things is happening, is you no longer believe that you can be nothing more than a failure that someone either stumbled on, triggered, or reminded you of in a situation. And now, instead of trying to grow and invest in your gifts, you're trying to manage mm-hmm. how people see your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you a shell of yourself. Yeah, you get around people and you don't feel like you can be vocal and you can be honest and you can be transparent and you can be courageous, because all of your energy is going towards keeping you from looking bad in the face of people who could reject you, right? Debbie, what are some things that you see in the world and even in your life that have challenged your GOAT status? And then we can talk about getting the GOAT status.
Yeah, it's very interesting how there's this fine line between feeling yourself, being arrogant, and I don't know if the word is humble or if it's, I'm trying to feel like a good contrast to like the arrogance and the feeling yourself, and then just being like, being somebody.
Confident humility.
Yeah, I guess confident is a good word. And one of the things is that we have this culture for some reason that celebrates mediocrity, right?
That's right.
But when somebody's actually the GOAT, people don't want that person to acknowledge the fact that they're the GOAT, right?
That's right.
And so you have this thing where it's like, oh, I'm just trying to, I'm the man next to the man, you know, or I'm trying to be like you, or you got the upper hand. Like when people say something about, you know what I'm saying? Like you have to deflect immediately. You got to deflect immediately and not take the praise that somebody gives you, or not acknowledge the fact that, all right, you did a good job, or not acknowledge the fact that, yeah, you hit that game winning shot and you are that dude. And I think that athletes very out there in front of you are rappers, right? There's not a rapper on this earth that's not going to be like, I'm the greatest of all time. Like, I'm the man. Like, I got it. I got bars. I will murder you in terms of, like, if we get into, like, a rap battle or whatever the case
may
be.
You mean a rap battle. We're not talking about violence. We're saying rap battle.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. Like even Kendrick Lamar, who has a song, Sit Down, Be Humble, will say, I'm the greatest, you know, rapper alive or whatever, of all time or whatever. And so I think that what I'm recognizing is that sometimes we have to take a note from the world in a sense of, you have value, you have worth, you add to the conversation, you add to the culture. The things that you're good at are things that people need. The gifts and skill sets and the talent that you have are something that needs to be shared with the world. But because we live in this like society where you can't be that guy and say that you are that guy unless you have a certain occupation, like a rapper or a boxer or something like that. Like, what's the boxer dude that a couple weeks ago that got into the fight and he was like, yo, I get paid to kill people. And
the baby?
Nah, the boxer.
Deontay Wilder. I got my boxers confused.
Oh, he left the man with his boxers hanging out. That's a whole different situation. But the idea that I'm a boxer, I'm going to get in this ring to tell somebody I'm going to destroy you and potentially murder you, and it's going to be legal. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Say that.
Right? And so the thing is, like, that leaves a certain impression in a person's mind. That leaves a certain, like, oh, shoot, like, this is serious right now. But imagine if we had that GOAT mentality where it was like, I am a person who has the ability to be the best ever at what I'm doing. And not to say that it has to carry you in such a way where you actually exude that arrogance, but it's the mentality where it's the opposite of what you were saying before. Like, man, now I have these XJ900s. I got these bad haircuts. I have these bad
clothes. Are you trying to trigger my trauma over here?
No, I'm trying to.
Bishop.
Listen.
You're trying to trigger my trauma.
So you got to throw a jab because you felt a certain way, bro? I was trying to use the illustration.
Hey, I'm just getting up off me. I felt like you were throwing a jab on me. Go ahead, bro. Finish your story.
I was going to say that had somebody come along you and said, hey, despite these pants and these haircuts and these shoes, bro, you are somebody and you have worth and you need to let the people know that, it's a whole different thing as opposed to you having to like self, like, you know, just taking all of that in and not being able to really fly, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I think that the part of our culture that we have now is like everybody loves you till you start telling them that they should love you. And then they start thinking like, oh, wait a minute, well, are you? I mean, you ain't all that. Now you need to fall back a little bit. Like, you need to chill out. Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, bro. And so I think that part of the idea that we're trying to get people to understand is that, man, you can have the GOAT mentality. You can be GOAT status, and you don't have to tell people that. It's like, what's the old school saying? Say, oh, I'm the man. Hey, well, if you got to go around telling people you're the man, you're probably not. Right?
Yeah.
So it's about carrying yourself a certain way. It's about believing in yourself a certain way. It's about exuding a certain confidence that's necessary for people to understand and know that, hey, wait a minute, let me stop and listen to what this BJ dude is talking about. Let me stop and listen to what this JP dude is talking about. Cause they have a way of helping me see them as the man. Like I feel like that dude is feeling himself, but it's a type of feeling itself that draws people in and not pushes people away.
Yeah, so let me give you the differences in arrogance, right? Because I've been around arrogant people, and I feel like there's been moments where I've felt pride. I don't know about arrogance. Arrogance is when you have confidence to the demise of other people, right? Mm-hmm, and the dismissal of others. You know, the problem with arrogance is arrogance don't care about nobody but you.
Right.
And it puts you in such a high regard that it does not regard the other. And so that's why I think it's laughable when people flippantly throw around the term arrogant for people who still regard others. I go, you've never been around an arrogant person.
Right.
Because a truly arrogant person sees themselves great to the dismissal of everything and everyone around them. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is we're talking about confidence. So let's just go ahead and start working this out. You know, part of the way that you know you're growing to a place of healthy confidence is if you believe that you're excellent at something and you don't need praise or approval.
Right.
Right. So you talked about not having to say it. Sometimes you need to say it, you know, because you are communicating what you're doing. But other times you display it by the fact that you will not tolerate certain things, right? And so, you know, we talk about how, you know, people, you know, should be this and should be that, and they ought to just allow things to happen. Well, here's the reality of it all. Sometimes people either meet you in a vulnerable situation or they meet you at such an infant space that it doesn't matter who you are or what you bring to the table. They're going to treat you to that degree. I'll give you a perfect example. You remember when Justin Bieber first started popping, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You remember this? And I don't know him personally, but I think it's a good point. People had all kinds of jokes about here he is, you know, young, you know, teen punk or whatever, you know, whatever people were saying at the time, from Canada and this, that, and the third. And really what you found was people were not ragging on his talent. They were ragging on his, you know, personality. And it was pretty cruel when I think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think as I look back on it now, the way that the public, you know, perceived and treated this young man was actually pretty harsh. And here's the thing. But Justin would go overseas, okay? He would sell out an arena.
Yeah.
And by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He would sell out an arena by himself. And then he would have the paparazzi and fans chasing his caravan. So listen, in one environment, he is a young punk, you know, foreigner, this, that, and the third. Listen, who just needs to be happy that they're not causing him physical harm. Because I don't know if you remember this. This, like, it turned almost into some bullying type stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People were like, oh, I beat you up and all kinds of random stuff. And I really don't even understand why. I need to go back and look at it. But listen, JP, but in another context, he was celebrated for who he was. And listen, the type of value that he was bringing to the context, right? And I think that that's what GOAT status is. GOAT status is when you don't allow a place to devalue you because you're so confident in who you've been made to be that it does not shake your confidence. And so to me, GOAT status is when you're so aware of who you are. You're so aware of what you bring to the table. You're so aware of what your primary purpose is that you're not overwhelmed when you have, you know, people who think they know you because they knew you,
mm-hmm.
assert that you're nothing but a young kid playing a guitar. Listen, the same dude, kid that was playing a guitar, that was being made fun of in his hometown, was a global superstar. Justin Bieber is a global superstar everywhere else, right? And that's how you start gaining GOAT status. What do you think, JP? How do you start breaking into your GOAT status or tapping into your GOAT status?
Well, I always start with self-awareness, right? And in this situation, in this instance, what I mean by self-awareness is, I don't know, I feel like I'm a broken record, man, but people know they don't do enough of this. It's really understanding worth and value, right? And one of the tools that I use that I try to help people when they're kind of coming to the stage of the GOAT status is looking at something we call a circle of competence, right? So are you familiar with the circle of competence?
No.
It's like you draw on a paper, one inner circle, and it's like what you know, right? Like what you know that you know that you know, right? This is what you're good at. This is what you're solid at. These are the skills you have. These are the tools you have. And then on another circle slightly outside of that is what you think you know, right? And once you really ascertain what you actually know, and then differentiate that from what you think you know. And maybe sometimes you ask some people and say, hey, man, help me figure out what's going on or where, you know, is this true about me or if I'm just feeling myself. Then you can start to have some kind of self-revelation. It's like, man, people that are the GOAT understand that they do this one thing well. And they bang that thing out, bro. And that's what they do. 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 They don't spend their time chasing their tail. They don't spend their time going in the direction somebody else thinks they should go in. They don't waste their time doing what their mama wants them to do. They say, hey, man, this is what I'm here to do, and this is what I need to do. Some of us are blessed where we can have two or three irons in the fire, but most people just need to stick to that one thing.
One thing.
And that one thing is your thing, not somebody else's thing, not what you would like it to be, what you hope it to be, know what it actually is. And once you're able to narrow that down and really just hone in on that skill, you'll find yourself feeling better about yourself and who you are because you're actually like walking in your purpose, right?
That's good, JP. Come on, JP.
Okay.
We was going to get here. I knew this was coming. Go ahead.
I mean, I didn't mean to get ahead of the curve, but yeah, you start walking in your purpose. You start actually have an air about you where your head is lifted up. You're looking ahead. Your chest is poked out. Your shoulders are up. You walk with a little bounce in your step. You got a little swag happening. And your whole persona begins to change. Because when you're doing things that you're not confident in, when you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, when you're doing things based on somebody else giving you an idea of what you should be doing. When I was in the cult, man, I had people coming to me all the time saying, God is saying this, God is saying that. And I'm like, man, God never said none of these things to me. But if you guys know what God is saying on my behalf, let me go ahead and do this. And I kept chasing my tail and doing all these things I had no business doing, leading the mime group. You know, just doing like random stuff, bro. And
I'm
like,
hold on.
I only said that so that you can have some jokes. So go ahead, man. Go ahead, man. Get it off your chest.
No, you didn't say that. You said that because you've been honest, JP.
No, you told me you haven't laughed enough today. You haven't laughed enough. Go ahead, bro.
I wasn't in the mime group.
I was the leader of the mime group.
Did you wear like black skinny jeans? Did you wear like?
Keep going.
Did you put on red lipstick?
Keep going. It wasn't blackface, sir. It wasn't blackface.
Was that clown wig involved?
You're not gonna put your mouth on the man of God. All right. I was the leader of the silent prophets. We were a mime group.
Did you have the leotards on? Go ahead. We wore
regular clothes. All right. Black on black or black on white, depending on what the situation called for. All right.
Go ahead, bro.
And we brought glory to the Lord through mime. All right, watch yourself.
All right. Go ahead. Finish making a point. You're making a great point.
I was interrupted.
You're saying knowing what you bring to the table, having a swagger, having your head up. See, I listen to you, bro.
Okay.
Having a swagger, lifting your head up, being able to know that one thing you do. Most people do a bunch of things, need to know your one thing. They put you in the wrong place. People speak over you, saying things about you that you ought to be do, but you ain't heard that from God. Then you talked about miming. Let's go.
So you think you're cool?
Make sure you book a session with BJ Thompson at BJ116, buildabetterus.com. Go ahead, bro.
Okay, was that with your notebook or without your notebook?
No, notebook.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying. All right. Okay, I see you. So again, when you are operating in your skill set, when you're operating in your gift, when you're in your lane, I mean, imagine if LeBron was playing tennis. You know what I'm saying? And he was just mediocre or just all right. He wouldn't be walking around saying that he's great. He found his gift. He found his skill set and he ran with that thing. And after years of practice and dunking on people and winning championships and doing this and that other thing, he came to the realization like, yo, I am that dude. And from that, he makes his own decisions. He calls his own shots. Supposedly, he doesn't care what the media says about him. He comes out last year after getting, moving on to the Lakers saying like, I have nothing else to prove, whether or not he really feels like that. Or again, he's trying to control the narrative. Like those are the comments you say when you are GOAT status, when you're like, yo, I don't have anything else to prove. Like right now, he's basically just said, I'm collecting checks for the next 4 years. You know what I'm saying? I signed a 4-year contract. I'm making more money probably off the court than I am on the court. But bottom line is, by the way, I have nothing else to prove. And when you say stuff like that, and when you feel that way, bro, you're GOAT status, man. You're walking in that GOAT gift. You know what I mean? You're walking in that GOAT lane. And I think that's kind of like what we want the listener to understand, man. We want y'all to understand that, like, you will have a different bounce in your step, man. You will have a different way of thinking, being, seeing the world. You'll be lifted out of that depression. I tweeted an article today saying that burnout is real. It's now being clinically diagnosed on some level. And when you live in the GOAT status, burnout ain't happening because you're doing what you can do naturally. You're doing what flows from you. You can do it in your sleep. You can do it while you're awake. You can do it standing backwards. You can do it, I guess, not standing backwards, walking backwards. You can do it standing on your head. Like it's just easy for you. And again, there may be trials and tribulations and tests that they come along. But when you're GOAT status, bro, and when you feel that way about yourself and when you know that you're the GOAT, Man, these little things don't bother you, man. Ain't no one monkey gonna stop your show, man. You keep it pushing.
Good. Yeah, I mean, you may be listening, and we're gonna probably do part two ghost status with this. There's so much stuff to come along with it. If you're listening, you're saying, man, I don't know how to tap into my GOAT status because there's GOAT status in art, science, entertainment, engineer, whatever those things may be. We want to help you tap into your GOAT status. Make sure you visit thebuildabetterus.com, click get involved, and find a life coach. We have tons of qualified individuals that can help you with it. Also, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And share it with at least one friend. If you love this podcast, make sure you leave us a review and share it with at least one friend. Because our job is to help you become a better you.
So that we can become a better us.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to the Build a Better Us podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever podcasts are played. You too can become a part of the BBU Nation today by continuing these discussions on social media. Be sure to go like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter at Build a Better Us, and on Instagram at BBU Social. To keep up with other exciting events and resources, visit our website at buildabetterus.com. On behalf of the entire BBU team, we'll see you next time on the Build a Better Us podcast.